This episode is sponsored by Verisk Marketing Solutions. The future of consumer experience requires a deeper data-driven understanding of identity, behavior, and privacy. Join marketing leaders and industry execs at the VIA 2023 Consumer Insights and Experience Summit, September 18th and 19th in Chicago's Fulton Market District. They'll explain how they can future-proof their businesses and do right by their customers with you. Spots are limited. Register now at marketing.verisk.com/via.
Then that begs the question of what are these public conversations that people are having? And Meta still needs to work to figure that out. I think leaning on creators is really smart, and ultimately how they decide to use the platform could determine the culture and the context of Threads.
Hey gang, it's Monday, July 17th. Jasmine, Debbie, and listeners, welcome to the Behind the Numbers Daily, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Verisk Marketing Solutions. I'm Marcus. Today I'm joined by two of our principal analysts, both covering social media for us, both on the left coast, one a little bit higher on the map than the other, the higher up one, based out of Washington, and we call her Deborah Aho Williamson.
Hey, Marcus.
Hello there. The other one is kind of in the middle. On the left, based out of California, it's Jasmine Emberg.
Hey, Marcus. Hey, everyone.
Hello. Well, there are two social media analysts, and they're hanging out with me today to talk about Threads. But before we get to that, today's fact, it was Victoria's birthday yesterday.
Who told you?
Happy birthday to Victoria.
Happy birthday, Victoria.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Happy birthday. V, what did you get up to yesterday for your birthday?
I went and drank some delicious wine with my mom and my sister, and then I came home and had a lovely family dinner.
Perfect. There it is.
Sounds like a
very nice
birthday.
It does indeed.
It was exactly what I needed.
Well, so V, I've got a birthday gift for you, and it's not that great, actually. It's just a fact. It's just a fact of the day. But it's a fact based on New Jersey.
So heck yeah.
Victoria, who edits the show, she moonlights as the mayor of New Jersey. You won't find a bigger fan of the state in the world. And so this fact is about New Jersey, and it's about drive-in movie theaters. They started in New Jersey. The first patented drive-in was opened June 6th, 1933 by Richard Hollingshead in Hensuken. V, is that, you know where that is?
Hold on, let me ask my mom. Mom, how do you pronounce, is it Hensuken? It's not Hensuken.
Pensahawken. Oh, mom knew. She knew immediately. Pensahawken, New Jersey. Drivers paid 25 cents a car, plus an additional 25 cents a person. Today, there are around 300 drive-in theaters left in the US, down from about 5,000 in their 50s heyday. V, is this something that's like, this is well known in New Jersey?
I didn't know it. And
with the drive-in movie theater?
I've been dubbed the unofficial mayor of New Jersey by you, Marcus,
official.
But I didn't know.
The official, unofficial, nothing. The official mayor of New Jersey.
Don't
yes,
tell my bestie, Phil, Governor Phil.
Well, happy birthday, Victoria. Hope you had a great day.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Today's real topic, Threads is here. Is that curtains for Twitter? So, first in the lead, we'll talk about Threads. So we did talk about it on Friday's show at the top of the weekly listen, but we've got our two social media experts here today, so we wanted to get their expertise on that. And then in other news, we've got two stories for you as usual, of course. We'll talk about Snapchat pushing to tempt creators and whether anyone can prove social media is bad for teenagers. So we start with the lead. We're talking Threads. So what is that? Well, Meta recently released a new companion app to Instagram called Threads, described by some as a clone of Twitter. And after just a week, it reached over 100 million users. That's a third the size of Twitter, about a fifth the size of Snapchat. So just after a week, the new Threads app is said to be for real-time public conversation. You must have an Instagram account to sign up to Threads. Current Instagram users can log in with their existing usernames and follow the same accounts on the new app. Jasmine, I'll start with you. What are some of your initial takeaways from the launch of Meta-owned Threads?
Well, Meta deserves a lot of credit for the stellar user acquisition strategy. The timing was spot on. It came just a couple of days after Musk had angered even the most loyal Twitter users by limiting the number of tweets they could see. It was a slow week. And on top of that, what you said, you have to have an Instagram account to sign up. So that means that Threads had a built-in audience. But it's usage, not downloads and accounts, that really matter. And while I think that Threads has staying power, there's a lot of work that Meta needs to do to ensure that these early Threads users stick around, that it can continue growing the user base and really find its place within the social media landscape. It's not going to be enough to be a Twitter alternative. And it's also not going to be enough just to be an extension of Instagram.
Yeah. I mean, Debbie, Jasmine's spot on, needs to continue to grow. 100 million users in a week is real quick. The fastest uptake of any online service that we've seen, faster than ChatGPT even. I think it took 2 months for it to get to 100 million users. What are some of your initial reactions from the launch of Threads?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. The usage story, the consistent usage story is the one that we're going to be paying the most attention to. So I agree 100%. Great strategy by Instagram to get to 100 million, probably plus at this point, but it's noisy. And there's a lot going on. If you open up today, if you open up your Threads feed, which I did again this morning to see what was going on, there's a ton of stuff and it's not very well organized. The user experience, I think, needs a lot of work. It feels to me that Instagram might have rushed this out without some core features that people are looking for, and how quickly Instagram launches those features and fixes some of the problems, I think, is going to determine how long people are going to stay engaged with Threads after initially downloading it.
Yeah,
I think that's right. And I will say that, you know, Instagram boss Adam Mosseri came out a couple of days ago, I believe, saying that they are working on shipping new features because there were a ton of complaints by users that Threads was lacking some basic functions, things like DMs, search, hashtag. So I expect they'll roll out a lot of those features pretty soon. I do think, you know, you're right in Debbie in that it needs to work quickly to do this to make sure that people don't get frustrated and the novelty of the app wears off.
Yeah. Yeah. This is just version 1.0. You wonder whether they were planning to have this rolled out later, but the timing was almost too perfect given everything that's going on Twitter. And so they kind of rushed things a little bit in terms of getting out the door, said we'll work through the kinks kind of as we go. Yeah. Already saying that a feed for Thread showing posts in chronological order currently being worked on after some user complaints. I wonder what this does for Instagram user growth, because you need an Instagram account to get Threads. We're already expecting Instagram to add 100 million new users worldwide this year, 6 million in the US. Twitter, meantime, is expected to lose 3 million US users, according to us. Is this going to give Instagram a bit of a tailwind?
I'm not sure. I mean, I feel like, and I haven't seen data on this yet. I hope that we will soon. I feel like a lot of the current users of Threads are already Instagram users. They're not necessarily people who have decided, oh, I'm going to join Instagram so I can also have a Threads account. So I don't see it as necessarily be a bump for overall Instagram usage so much as I see it being an alternative place for Instagram users and creators and celebrities and companies that deliver news to provide information that isn't maybe as easy to access on Instagram. The real-time nature of Instagram, I mean, other than stories, has never been great. So if they can do that with Threads, I think it's going to be a really interesting opportunity. But again, mostly for Instagram users.
Okay. And I think that's right. I have heard anecdotally of several people who created an Instagram account just so they could sign up for Threads. And these are people who, you know, were really interested in using Instagram beforehand. I don't think that means that they're going to start using Instagram because they're using Threads. It may just be that they have the account so they are able
That's a good point.
To be on Threads. But I mean, Instagram really only needs to have 1 in 4 of its worldwide users by the end of this year using Threads every month in order for it to be as big as Twitter. So 100 million is great. It's well on its way as long as these people stay around and engaged. But just for some perspective on, you know, how they could potentially achieve this even without getting non-Instagram users to sign.
Yeah. And that 100 million is interesting because it's not just 100 million people who the app doesn't know anything about. It's 100 million people who have likely previously had an Instagram account. And so there's data about that individual already. And so it's a much more attractive audience to advertisers than 100 million people who the platform has no idea who they really are. And then also second to that, 100 million people in a week when they haven't even launched in the EU. And 500 million people live in the European Union. So that's a whole untapped market that they might get a huge tailwind from once they release this service there. Jasmine, this is likely an entirely too early question to ask, and so I ask it anyway, of course, but how much of a revenue boost could this be for Meta if Threads does well?
Well, there's one estimate, early estimate out there. It's from Evercore ISI, which is estimating that Threads could bring in about $8 billion in annual revenue for Meta by 2025. I think it's really early days, and regardless of how much revenue it generates, it's still going to be very minimal and incremental for the amount of money that Meta makes off of its core services.
Yeah. So it's been dubbed a Twitter clone by a lot of folks. All the features look very similar indeed, and it is obviously competing with Twitter platforms like that. How is this going to affect Twitter usage?
Well, we saw some data from Ipsos. So Ipsos did a survey just at the beginning of this month on Threads. And one thing that caught my eye, and this is a quote from their article about it, just over half of Americans with a Twitter account say they are likely to try or already have tried Threads. So that's a total of 58%. So it's a bit fuzzy in the way it's worded, likely to try or already have tried. It gives a pretty broad spectrum of intent. And what they didn't ask, have you already downloaded it? That said, if those 58% of Americans with a Twitter account do decide to use Threads, I think that is a pretty damning thing for Twitter. But I think the question needs to be asked, and hopefully we'll see it asked in research in the coming weeks. Are you actually using Threads? Were you a Twitter user and now you are not a Twitter user because you are using Threads? Things like that.
I'd also like them to ask what people are using Threads for. I mean, Masseri and team have been very clear that they want to steer clear of politics and news as much as possible. Of course, it's inevitable that that kind of content will show up onto the platform. But then that begs the question of, what are these public conversations that people are having? And Meta still needs to work to figure that out. I think leaning on creators is really smart. And ultimately, how they decide to use the platform could determine the culture and the context of Threads. But I say this because I don't think Threads is going to be a Twitter killer, a Twitter replacement, but it is a huge threat to Twitter as it stands right now.
Well, so it's interesting because, so Jasmine, you're writing a piece on this, Threads versus Twitter, which folks can head to insiderintelligence.com and read the full report there. But in there, you note that when Threads launched, Twitter traffic fell, according to Similarweb, who tracks online activity, and also cloud infrastructure company Cloudflare. But it's hard to tell whether this is a direct correlation, because who has the largest share of responsibility of the responsibility pie in terms of Twitter falling? Because worldwide visits to twitter.com fell over 7% year on year in March. And that was a third straight month of declines, according to Similarweb as well. And so Twitter's been in bad shape for a while. It's hard to know or parse out exactly how much of an effect Threads has had in particular. Jasmine, you said you don't think this is going to be good night for Twitter, but how concerned should they be?
I mean, they should absolutely be concerned. I mean, to your point, I think one of the reasons, you know, Twitter traffic may have gone down during that time, again, has to do with timing, right? Threads has not been tested in a period of a lot of news when Twitter really shines. And if Threads isn't going to be a place for news, it's probable that, you know, Twitter will still be able to get some engagement. And again, it's really early days. We don't know how this is going to develop. And until we know what kind of app Threads is going to be, it's anyone's guess on how big of a long-term threat it is to Twitter. And I also think Twitter is doing a pretty good job of, you know, making things really difficult for itself on its own.
Yes. Yeah, that's not wrong. Debbie, I was reading in The Economist nearly, so 90% of Twitter users already use Instagram, as according to a data reportal. And the Economist was saying they now have a near frictionless alternative to Twitter. It's a bit of an odd fight to me, because the article is also pointing out Facebook has 8 times as many users as Twitter and makes 23 times as much money as Twitter. And so the kind of Threads is going up against Twitter, but it does seem like quite a lopsided fight. But it also seems like, even though it makes so much more money than Twitter, and even if it got Twitter's money, it wouldn't be a ton to Meta, to Facebook's bottom line. There is money to be made here, because the Economist article was noting Twitter's never made much money out of its users because it knows little about them. Between half and two-thirds of those who read tweets are not logged on. Half to two-thirds of people who read tweets are not logged in This is an estimate from Simon Kemp of Data Reportal, saying many registered users are lurkers who view others' feeds but seldom engage. Do you think that's true? Do you think that there's a lot of untapped dollars that Twitter hasn't been able to capitalize on just because it doesn't know as much about its users as perhaps other platforms do?
Well, I think 100% Meta will, when they launch advertising on Threads, lean into the vast trove of information they have about the Instagram users and Facebook users who are, and the Threads users, quite frankly, as they're watching their usage, and use that information to sell advertising. As far as Twitter, Twitter, for a variety of reasons, even before Elon Musk came on the scene, had never built a strong advertising business. They kind of missed the boat on performance-based advertising over the years and tried to catch up. Video advertising, same thing. It really never was a very strong fit with Twitter. So there are a lot of things that I think Meta has done better over the years that it will be able to capitalize on. I think the interesting thing for me, though, is that, you know, this is a text-based app. And Meta has spent so much time over the past couple of years focusing on video and video advertising, you know, to strong effect. I mean, you know, well over half of Meta's revenues come from video advertising right now. So convincing advertisers to build, different types of advertising. I don't know what type of advertising we're going to see on Threads ultimately, but is it going to be video? Is it not going to be video? Are there going to be text posts, sponsored mm-hmm. content? That may be less appealing to advertisers that just want to go all in on video.
Yeah, it's true. And so apparently, no ads for the first year. There's a requirement of the BBC noting that. But Jasmine, what, if anything, should advertisers be thinking about at this stage?
So there's no advertising yet, as you said, but Meta has already said that they will be launching branded content tools from Instagram onto Threads, which allows advertisers, brands, creators to start experimenting with different types of paid promotion on the app. So if there are early movers who want to start thinking about a thread strategy, that's one good way to start getting started. But I think overall, you know, it's been just over a week since Threads launched. It's too soon to really formulate a full thread strategy. And I think it's good for advertisers, brands to wait and see how usage develops on the platform before moving full force ahead.
Mm-hmm. Early days indeed. We shall see. That's all we've got time for the lead time, of course, for the halftime report. Jasmine, I'll start with you. What's most worth repeating from the first half?
The thing that I'm focusing on right now is, you know, how Threads finds its place in the social media landscape. So as I said before, it can't just be a Twitter alternative, and it also can't be an extension of Instagram. And I will be following closely to see how it forms its place within public conversations.
Debbie, how about you?
Yeah, I want to see how Meta forms these threads into a fully developed coat, which is very powerful and can be very powerful. Right now, lots of interesting threads. Let's see what they do with it.
I'm very so nice. Here for the puns.
That was perfect. Yeah, if this was the game of the week, you'd have won immediately. That was brilliant. You can look out for Jasmine's research on Twitter versus threads on insiderintelligence.com. As we've got time for the first half of the show, time for the second today. In other news, Snap's push to tempt creators, and can you prove social media is bad for teenagers? Story one, Snap's push to tempt creators seems to be working, suggests Lindsay Chu and Megan Bobrowski of the Wall Street Journal. They explain that Snapchat, which previously lost creators after cutting a big payout program, started testing a new program in 2022 that let folks earn a portion of revenue from the ads shown between their posts. But Jasmine, your takeaway from Snapchat's push to tempt creators is what and why?
It's about time. There's been a huge untapped opportunity for Snap with creators. Clearly, it's resonating. You know, I think a lot of the creators that are making a lot of money on Snap's ad revenue sharing program are big creators, and I'd like to see how well that translates to creators with smaller followings. And for Snap to really supercharge its creator strategy, I think that it needs to bring on stronger influencer marketing, branded content tools, because the primary way that most creators and influencers still monetize is through brand partnerships.
Mm-hmm. Quick look at Snapchat. Revenue grew 12% last year, the slowest rate since the company went public. was down in Q1 for the first time in its history, dragged down primarily by North America. That said, worldwide daily active users continue to grow at a decent clip as they looked across the 400 million milestone, daily active user worldwide milestone this year. Story two, can you prove social media is bad for teens? Well, everyone says social media is bad for teens, including the US Surgeon General, but proving it is another thing, writes Claire Kane Miller of the New York Times. She explains the research has not yet shown which sites, apps, or features of social media have which effects on mental health. Sophia Chalkers-Bradley, psychologist and director of the Teen and Young Adult Lab at the University of Pittsburgh, says, "We don't have enough evidence to tell parents to get rid of a particular app or cut it off after a particular number of hours." A Times article was saying that whilst many studies have found a correlation between time spent on social media and mental health symptoms, proving causation is tricky. But Debbie, the most interesting sentence in this article on trying to prove or whether folks can prove social media is bad for teenagers is what and why.
Yeah, so the sentence I chose was, overall, research finds that social media is not inherently beneficial or harmful, and its effects depend on individuals and what they see. The reason I picked
exactly that the sentence I wrote.
Yay, we won.
Yep. You did win.
No, but seriously, this I think points both to the challenges that the article discusses in determining what apps and what activities on social media are most detrimental to teens' mental health. But it also, I think, points to the fact that there are many great things about social media, many positive things about social media that for teens and for anybody who's using it. Yes, there are certain things that are harmful. I mean, I do agree that many of the studies about cyberbullying and body shaming and other things that happen on social media, exclusionary behavior, those are all terrible, terrible things. But there's lots of positive benefits that teens and adults can get from using social media. So I think we're going to continue to debate this. The last thing I'll say is, you know, social media is, you know, you can't make a blanket statement that say like TV is harmful or that watching movies is harmful. So I don't know if we're ever going to get to the point of having a firm viewpoint on the harm or benefit of social media. But knowing that it can cause both, I think, or affect both, I think, is what we need to take away.
Yeah, one reason you can't say that about something like TV or radio or social media is one of the points they're making in this piece. One problem with studying the field is that there isn't a single widely accepted definition of social media. Ms. Kane Miller points out that YouTube, which isn't included in most studies, is the most popular platform among teenagers, according to Pew Research. And also, yeah, there's tons of variables. That quote, again, that you mentioned, overall research finds that social media is not inherently beneficial or harmful, and its effects depend on individuals and what they see. The article saying experts said they would like to see some research that examines specific types of social media content. That's all we've got time for this episode. Thank you so much to my guests. Thank you to Debbie.
Thank you, Marcus.
And of course, thank you to Jasmine.
Thank you, Marcus.
Happiest of birthdays to Victoria, who edits the show and is also the mayor of New Jersey. James, who copy edits it, and Stuart, who runs the team, the show that is, that doesn't copy it, edit New Jersey. I said it weird. And thanks to everyone for listening in. See you tomorrow, hopefully, for the Behind the Numbers Daily and eMarketer podcast, made possible by Verisk Marketing Solutions.